Welcome to Poseidon Airstrip, Washington State's highest and most remote runway. You're standing at over 4,200 feet elevation, deep in the heart of the North Cascades, surrounded by some of the most rugged wilderness in the Pacific Northwest. What you see today is a long, straight clearing slowly being swallowed by the forest. But for nearly four decades, this was one of the most important and dangerous landing strips in Washington. The year is 1931. The Great Depression has gripped the nation, but the U.S. Forest Service has a problem that can't wait. Fire. Wildfire in the remote Poseidon backcountry, one of the most inaccessible regions in the entire state. There are no roads, no telephone lines. If a fire starts out here, by the time a crew hikes in, it could consume thousands of acres. The solution was audacious. Using Works Progress Administration labor, the Forest Service sent crews into this remote valley along the west fork of the Poseidon River to carve an airstrip from raw wilderness. They cleared trees, leveled the terrain, and created a 3,200-foot north-south dirt runway, all by hand with basic tools, in one of the most isolated locations in the Pacific Northwest. The following year, in 1932, a Curtis Robin aircraft lifted off from Felts Field in Spokane and headed west into the mountains. The pilot navigated through narrow mountain passes, descended into the valley, and touched down on the new dirt runway. It was the first landing at Poseidon Airstrip, and it worked. For the next 36 years, this remote runway became a lifeline. Firefighting crews flew in during the dry summer months to battle blazes. Supplies reached ranger stations that would otherwise require days of hiking to resupply. Injured rangers were evacuated by air instead of enduring agonizing trips out on horseback. A guard station cabin was built here in the late 1940s, a locked cabin for rangers and fire crews with a corral for pack animals and a barn. That cabin still stands today, but this airstrip's most surprising chapter came during World War II. Between November 1944 and April 1945, Japan launched approximately 9,000 hydrogen balloon bombs across the Pacific Ocean. These were called Fugo weapons, unmanned balloons carrying incendiary devices designed to ride the jet stream to North America and ignite massive forest fires across the Pacific Northwest. About 300 of these balloon bombs actually reached the continent. Several landed in Washington's remote wilderness areas. The threat was taken seriously. One balloon bomb killed six people in Oregon, the only combat deaths on the U.S. mainland during the entire war. The Forest Service used Poseidon Airstrip and other backcountry strips to launch aerial patrols, searching for balloon debris and staging rapid response teams in case of balloon-ignited wildfires. Through the 1950s and 60s, this was the golden age of backcountry flying. Bush pilots, skilled aviators willing to navigate narrow mountain valleys, unpredictable winds, and a rough, unpaved runway, became legends out here. They flew Curtis Robins, Piper Super Cubs, and rugged Cessna 180s, timing their arrivals for early morning when the air was calm, and departing before afternoon winds became treacherous. During major fire seasons, this strip saw dozens of landings as crews and equipment rotated in and out. Then, on October 2, 1968, everything changed. Congress designated the Poseidon Wilderness, over 530,000 acres, one of the largest wilderness areas in the lower 48 states. Under the Wilderness Act, motorized and mechanized transport is prohibited. That includes aircraft. Poseidon Airstrip officially closed. The era of flying into the high country was over. There was one brief exception. In 1970, a devastating fire season forced the Forest Service to temporarily reopen the strip for emergency operations. Aircraft brought in crews, equipment, and supplies to fight blazes threatening the wilderness. When the fires were extinguished, the airstrip closed again, this time for good. In the decades since, nature has been slowly reclaiming this place. Trees have encroached on the north end of the runway. Freeze-thaw cycles have degraded the surface. And at some point, likely in the 1980s or 90s, someone deliberately dug holes near the center line of the runway to prevent illegal landings by pilots who might try to ignore the wilderness closure. Today, only about 1,400 feet of the original 3,200 are even recognizable. But the story endures. Pilots occasionally spot the overgrown runway from the air, a faint scar on the landscape, a ghost strip visible if you know where to look. It's listed on backcountry pilot databases strictly for emergency awareness. If you're flying in the North Cascades and your engine fails, there's a strip down here, somewhere, if you can find it. For everyone else, The only way to reach Pasayton Airstrip is the same way the WPA workers got here in 1931, on foot. It's a 14-mile hike from the nearest trailhead, with 3,000 feet of elevation gain. But for those willing to make the trek, what awaits is a window into an era when the Forest Service relied on daring pilots and remote runways to protect the vast wilderness of the Pacific Northwest. The sound of propellers is gone now, replaced by wind through the pines. Pasayton Airstrip belongs to the wilderness again, exactly as Congress intended.